Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown. Today we're digging into Morgan Stanley's second quarter 2026 results, and Jordan, this one's got some genuinely eye-popping numbers.
It really does. But before we get into it, quick disclaimer. This podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
Right, let's get into it. Morgan Stanley posted record revenues of $21.3 billion for the quarter, with EPS of $3.46, both records. First half of the year, they're at $42 billion in revenue and a 27% return on tangible common equity. That's an exceptional run.
And it wasn't just one business carrying the load. Institutional securities hit a record $11 billion in revenue, driven by an absolutely blowout equities quarter, $6.3 billion, up across every product and region, with Asia standing out. Investment banking revenue jumped 58% year-over-year to $2.4 billion.
That IPO market really came alive this quarter too, which fed directly into wealth management. They added a record $148 billion in net new assets, and CFO Sharon Yeshaya pointed out that stock plan and IPO flows made up just over half of that. Total client assets across wealth and investment management now sit at $10 trillion, which CEO Ted Pick called out as a milestone the firm's been chasing for a while.
The wealth management pre-tax margin came in at 30.5%, also a record. And there was a nice shareholder-friendly move, a 15% dividend increase to $1.15 per share, plus $1.5 billion in buybacks. Their CET1 capital ratio is at 14.8%, giving them roughly 300 basis points of excess capital cushion.
That capital question actually drove one of the more interesting exchanges in the Q&A. An analyst asked Pick point blank, "Why keep sitting on all this excess capital instead of deploying it more aggressively?" His answer was basically, there's real client demand for that capital across every business line, and they'd rather feed the organic growth machine first. He didn't rule out bolt-on acquisitions, but said the bias is clearly toward organic investment right now.
The moment that stood out most to me, though, was when Mike Mayo asked about the AI capital expenditure supercycle. Pick actually put real numbers on it. Data center CapEx forecasts for 2026 have jumped from initial $575 billion estimate to about $850 billion actually coming in. For 2027, projections have gone from $700 billion to $1.3 trillion. And he floated a longer-term thesis using their research team's framework that the AI compute build-out could eventually reach something like $10 trillion. But stressed we're only maybe 10 to 15% of the way through that cycle.
He was pretty careful to caveat that, though, called it a known unknown and said the numbers could shift dramatically based on chip innovation, geopolitics, supply chains. He wasn't trying to make it sound like a sure thing.
Right, and that ties into the second big theme he flagged, the return of geopolitics as a force reshaping supply chains and capital allocation. When Gerard Cassidy asked what could make this AI-driven boom crack, Pick's answer was refreshingly candid. He referenced the dot-com bubble and the SPAC boom and said the firm's watching closely for froth. Their mantra, as he put it, is higher highs, but also higher lows, meaning they want durability, not just a hot quarter.
On the wealth management side, there was also a good exchange about competition. Stephen Chubak asked about smaller RIAs undercutting on price to win workplace clients. Sharon's response was essentially, scale is the moat. Corporate relationships, the breadth of advice, alternatives like Parametric, which now has over $760 billion in AUM, smaller shops just can't replicate that.
Investment management overall hit a record $2 trillion in AUM too. So that a third leg of the stool working well alongside institutional securities and wealth management.
So, stepping back, what does this mean for investors going forward? The firm is firing on all cylinders, record trading and banking revenue, record wealth flows, a growing capital cushion, and a rising dividend. Management's framing this as a multi-year AI infrastructure investment cycle they're positioned to help finance, while also flagging that we're early enough in that cycle that outcomes are still uncertain.
And before we wrap, everything discussed is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence.
Well said. Morgan Stanley heads into the second half of 2026 with a lot of momentum, strong pipelines, an active IPO market, and management clearly watching for signs of overheating even as they lean into growth.
It'll be worth watching how that AI CapEx story evolves and whether the wealth management margin drifts higher, as Pick hinted it might.
That's it for this episode of Beta Finch. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.